That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Chaz, we're back.
Such an exciting week in surf, David Lee Scales.
So exciting. We've got our new theme music, thanks to Derek.
Oh, man. Just loving it.
So good.
It really is one of my...
You can hear it right now playing under our voices.
It's really... I mean, people should pause for a minute and just... Let's play them out for a little bit.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I feel like I should come in with a deeper baritone.
Yeah.
Do you... Chaz Smith, welcome to the grid.
Do you think about the way your voice is sounding?
Never.
No. Did you the first couple times?
I don't remember being self-conscious. But.
Do you like the way Ashton Goggins thinks about the way his voice is sounding on his, whatever the show he does, the Red Bull
No
thing?
Contest.
Yeah.
He definitely does.
He's like, comes in, it's like, he puts on the coolest guy voice ever that I wonder if he's like, at this point I wonder if he's mocking himself or if he really thinks he sounds cool.
In today's episode, we went to the streets of Rwanda where... It's pretty cool. We met, hung out with.
It's in stark contrast to his voice when he's on camera.
I mean, he's such
That's
a
the problem.
Yeah, well,
like you wouldn't know the difference until you see him on camera, and he's.
But you would also know the difference because nobody talks cool guy
right.
like as their full time voice.
Yeah. In today's episode, we met up with Josh Kerr. It was
you know now that you're doing it, I realize that I actually do it. Like there's episodes where I'll write, you know, an introduction or some sort of monologue, and reading the monologue is I'm so much more wooden,
yeah,
than I am right now when I'm just having a conversation to you.
Sure,
for some reason, just reading off a page stilts your cadence.
I think I think it's because your brain is thinking about what. The words are coming out, right?
Right.
Maybe differently than, I mean, my brain's not thinking at all right now.
I was going to say, how's the hangover? Based strictly on your appearance, how's the hangover going?
Yeah, I look really hungover, huh? I've been cultivating a more like unhinged cult leader look.
Kind
of.
Oh, really?
Look at that. Like I'm wearing kind of a baggy linen pant, which I feel is like real culty, right?
Have we ever talked about this?
No.
About my desire to be a cult leader?
No.
Oh, do you have one as well?
Well, I just think that you know, with the new call to arms against the WSL or potential call to arms, I was trying to kind of model after Jim Jones and ISIS, like just my own personal thing, my own look.
Is ISIS a cult?
No,
I don't think so.
Either. No, and not just like I was more. I guess I don't specifically want to be a cult leader. I want to be a unhinged. Revolutionary.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're not exactly the same thing. We could actually even partner probably.
Completely.
Our forces.
Totally.
I just like the idea, like every time I watch a documentary on cults, I like the guy in the center. I'm like, hey, that guy, everybody, first of all, he gets to bang a bunch of runaways. Secondly, everybody gives him money. He gets to own a bunch of Mercedes Benzes.
So true.
I just don't have a real strong doctrine yet. I need to develop the doctrine first.
Yep.
But I'm kind of reverse engineering the thing.
Now that you mention it, I think we did talk about it when the Rajneesh, that fabulous Rajneesh doco came out. I think we spent all those episodes ago. I think this is episode 50.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Should we celebrate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's celebrate with some more theme music.
Okay. Perfect. Play us through.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That was our theme music. Today we're gonna listen to theme music.
And shout out, we will Shout out to Album Surfboards for hosting us yet again.
Best surf shop in the world.
Occasionally we forget to say thanks to them.
Best surf shop I've ever been in.
How is your dismantling of the WSL going? Should we start a petition? I think we need to start an impeachment inquiry.
There's for ELO. For ELO, yeah, for sure. Yeah. ELO needs to go. See, here's the problem. Okay, yeah. So I'm going to do another little video today. Hopefully it gets done today. That actually is making demands. Like, what are the real demands? Like, I asked for Beach Grit readers. I threw it up.
So last week after we recorded, I got home that afternoon and realized you published a video. It's like a terrorist sitting in their backyard.
Yeah.
This fits with the theme and the look that you're cultivating.
Exactly.
And wearing sunglasses unnecessarily in a shaded area. What was the video?
The video was just a real honest, I mean, you know, like we talked about on the show, just my growing frustration with ELO, not just ELO, but with the World Surf League, with the wall of positive noise, with all of it, right? And I had a breaking point, David Lee Scales. I snapped and I thought, well, what the hell? Why? Like, I can be all mad about it, but we actually have power. I mean, we actually have the power of the people, right? And so we can force the WSL to change if all it takes is a little elbow grease. Just mm-hmm. going to put the shoulder down and push. And so I thought, what this movement, any good movement, needs a rambling, barely incoherent call to arms that goes on way too long, where like somebody is just sitting and kind of psychotically going over stuff again and again and again. So I thought, I need to make that video. So made that video. And then today, hopefully going to do another video.
I thought that's what Beach Grit already was before the video came.
Yeah, it is.
Rambling, incoherent.
Sure, but it's not a video. That's right. I was told. I was told that
the video has power.
Video has power. That readership, not at Beach Grit, readership is going up, but across the board, readership is going. You know, people don't read anymore. And how are we going to reach these people?
Gotcha.
A barely coherent, rambling video diatribe is how we're going to reach them.
Okay.
So another one today.
Phase two.
Yeah, phase two is today. So phase one was really questioning or really putting it out there. Like, well, we don't have to put up with this, right? Like, if surfers like the content that the WSL is producing, and I'm talking more about the shoulder content here, I think we all have issues with the contest themselves, but I think more or less people are happy with the contest, right?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we've talked to death about the very easy changes that I don't know why they make, other than it being a pyramid scheme. But cutting down the teat draw, you know, chopping the bottom half of the surface that we don't want to see, maybe making the QS a little more robust. For example, is Sunset being broadcast at all?
Yes.
It is?
I don't know. So, yeah, they were. I didn't watch it.
I heard it was fabulous, but I heard that people weren't able to see it also.
I don't know if they were streaming it on WSL's website.
Okay.
On worldsurfleague.com.
So they
might have been on like the Vans triplecrown.com or something like that.
In any case though, but like whatever. All like the tour elements that we've talked about, everybody knows what those are that needs to get better. Everybody's relatively satisfied with the tour, right?
Yep.
We all like having a professional tour. It's fun to talk about the tour stops, you know, of course, add Fiji or something like that. But otherwise, you know, drop the pool. It's good. What's horrible out of the World Surf League is coming from the storyteller-in-chief, Eric Logan, and the direction that he is ramming surfing into this Oprah-esque, bland bowl of white rice, this ugly, ugly... It's just horrible. It's horrible. I don't know anybody likes it. I don't know anybody watches it. I don't know anybody consumes it. Who's it for? It's not for surfers, right?
Right.
And so... sit and bitch about it, or we can actually do something is what I thought, because again, we actually have power. So phase one, rambling diatribe. Phase two, asking on Beach Grit. So I wrote an article and said, what do you want to see come out of the WSL, right? What is the content you want to see? What would you like to consume? We're the viewers. Why are we just sitting back and passively letting this, again, the wall of positive noise just to wash over it? We can go kick a hole in it if we want. So asking, and phase three today is I'm taking five of those. The Martin Luther pounded 95 theses onto the church door. I think it was a Wittenberg. Was it Wittenberg?
I'm not sure.
Germany. Pounded 95 theses onto the Catholic church door about what he wanted, you know, what was wrong with the Catholic church, basically. And that's where the Protestant Revolution came from, or the Reformation, I should say. Not revolution. Anyway, I ain't no Martin Luther.
Yeah,
five.
You are.
Five.
Own it.
We're gonna have five theses. So five really truly actionable theses that the WSL, if they don't follow through on, or if they don't listen to or take, then it's going to be full on war, David Lee.
Do you have the five picked out already?
I have three. I'm gonna pick the last two.
Them yet?
Nope. It'll be on video today.
Okay. This metaphor, I think, not only is really, really accurate, but it can also help us foretell the future. If we follow past religious movements, I think that will be the blueprint for how this whole thing unfolds. And I texted you after our last recording that I had an epiphany. I was looking at for photos of Eric Logan. And I looked at the guy and I was like, oh my gosh, dude, this guy looks like a televangelist.
He is.
What's worse is he shows up saying, I am the new savior. I am here to rescue you guys from the pits of despair that you guys, that the WSL is headed, by creating all of this content and lifting it to this brand new audience, you know? And then, but I'm looking at him going, man, this looks exactly like Steve Martin in that movie Leap of Faith.
I mean, completely.
The shiny jacket, the giant smile,
the colorful
glasses,
the song
and the dance, the saying, hey, look at me. And then I dug in further and I was like, it is all very ego driven, right?
Yeah.
Because if you were here just to do the good work, we wouldn't even know your name.
Precisely.
Or we would have read your name in a press release a year ago, and that's the last we would have heard of you. But to have a personal photographer, to have be constantly publishing photos, trying with a clear attempt to ingratiate yourself into this community that you're now supposedly representing.
Oh, not, I mean, the, moreover, leading, right? He called himself the storyteller. I mean, he was, I'm a storyteller, storyteller, storyteller. He is surfing storyteller.
Right. So the televangelist thing, oh, the other detail about the ego. I don't know if you read in the press release when they talked about the different type of content that they're going to have. One of them was a reality show.
Yeah, starring Elo.
That he is competing in?
No, he's the host.
Oh, he's hosting? Either way.
Precisely, he's front and center.
The point is still salient.
He is, I mean, even more salient when he's front and center. He's front and center next to, Dana White.
Yeah.
It's Dana White. So if you're going to have a show, I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's like, oh my gosh, this guy needs to be front and center at all. I mean, first of all, look at the clothing and all that sort. Like, he needs to be front and center at all times. And I would argue that actually flies in the face of what we're trying to get done here.
Completely. Well, and especially the...
And why doesn't anybody see it?
The fact that, through Beach Grit, it's going to be... people are going to have to force to address it. I'm going to force the WSL to address it. And yeah, I won't give away what the theses are yet. They will be live today. But to your point, you're exactly right. I mean, Eric is... He has worked himself into surfing, to be the face of surfing, the voice of surfing, the spirit of surfing, the stories of surfing. And we as surfers don't have to passively take it. We can say, absolutely not.
Okay, it feels like...
Sit down, buddy.
Not to create new, brand new metaphors and analogies for us to follow, because I think that the religious one is just perfect.
Yeah.
But it's like, imagine you're like sophisticated, gourmet chef. You're in this community of chefs, right? And then a new dude shows up to run the Food Network and he's Instagramming photos of his microwaved, hot dog and macaroni and cheese out of a blue box. And it's like, hey, look at how awesome this is, but it's beautifully lit and it's like got professional photography. Look at this meal that I just made.
Yep.
That's what I feel this is.
Yeah, no.
And we're all looking at it going, what, dude?
No.
That's not what good food is. That's not.
And it's just time. It's time to say enough, right? I think, again, I gave Eric a way... kind of long leash. I rolled over in the interview. I didn't roll over. I totally did roll over, but giving him the benefit of the doubt of, let's see what you can do. Maybe with your knowledge and your ability. But it's the ego thing.
That's the little detail we hadn't noticed.
Which I should have. I should when he buddied me.
It was
me,
so obvious.
When he buddied me, I should have known right then and there, okay, this guy's all ego and this thing's gotta come tumbling down right now.
The buddy thing is more of a like used car salesman kind of like trying to pull a fast one, pretending we're friends. The ego thing is different than that, I think. But I do believe that Eric has all of the ability. Like, really what they hired him to do and what he's probably very good at is putting together deals, understanding the way that deals are structured, understanding the way that media is distributed and all that kind of back end stuff. From the creative standpoint, I don't know that he's necessarily the best qualified for the job.
No, I don't think his role as president of Oprah Network was creative.
Exactly. Like, right? It was more structuring technical. Build out and business development and how deals get done, licensing agreements, all that sort of stuff. So there's, you can't question him there. And then creative wise, maybe he even has the ability to oversee creative, but I feel like with Oprah or the OWN network, there's probably so many people involved in that decision-making process that you couldn't really wrench it off the rails. Nobody's going to let it get wrenched off the rails. I feel like the WSL was a little bit more open-minded and they kind of are open to any direction. And he comes through, and because he's qualified in all these other areas, it's like, all right, well, we'll listen to your advice and feedback when it comes to creative, because we don't really have a visionary in place to direct the creative.
Well, and the Oprah Network, you know, at the end of the day, all the content reflects Oprah herself. Like, totally. There's an actual person so there who's driving the what the content will be. Correct. Surfing doesn't have an Oprah. I mean, right. Surfing has a lot of figures, right?
Well, Kelly is the stand-in Oprah. And be honest, I think they have kind of let that lead the charge. I mean, certainly with the wave pool stuff.
Well, to, I guess, their credit, or to Kelly's credit, or somebody's credit, the Kelly stuff has been the only interesting content they've done, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, not the pool, but the only piece of interesting content that has come out of the WSL studios thus far is that Kelly Slater sound waves, but not for the reasons that I think that they thought it was compelling.
No, it was inadvertently compelling.
Inadvertently amazing.
Because Kelly's an interesting guy.
Sure.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And he opens up.
Well, he's just... interesting / totally bizarre, strange, an alien.
I know.
He's such a wacko.
We don't need to do it. I mean, I kind of want to do another deep dive, but we really don't need to.
No, I mean, it was
it endless. Doesn't get old to me for some reason.
No, it doesn't. I mean, it's Matt Warshaw on Beach Grit wrote that it has that Soundwaves episode has like a druggy MDMA-like quality to it, where he went back for seconds and thirds, I think. I mean, it's totally that. I could talk about that. We could do a whole nother episode. Soundwaves.
We'll do a slight detour, because I have had more thoughts of it.
Yeah,
the more other people talk about it. JP Curry did a deep dive too.
Yep. JP's deep dive was epic. His like basically frame by frame run through it was so good.
Yeah. The one thing, or the additional epiphany I had about it was, I was kind of talking crap about Charlie Goldsmith.
Yeah.
Just like this TV healer, you know, the credentials are so vague. Even reading off his own website, it's like, what? This is the quote you're using to advertise your work? But it completely undermines his good work when he's sitting there giving all these affirmations to Kelly and Kelly doesn't execute on the project.
Precisely.
Like if Charlie's there saying those things, then Kelly gets two tens, you go, oh, okay, Charlie's got something.
Or if Kelly
gets two sixes.
And or if Kelly came out after his two sixes and looked stoked, was like, man, that was so fun out there. Like where Charlie could have said, see, breakthrough. It's not all about winning. Exactly. It's about having a good time or whatever his message was.
But to have somebody whispering the sweet nothings, which is what Charlie was doing, like none of it was profound in any way, and then to Kelly go out there and fail in addition to that is like, oh,
and well. Like so, and personally fail and like
professionally
fail, like failed across the board.
Charlie
I would love to see what Charlie's business is going to do after that.
What's his business?
I mean, I'm sure that he's hoping that some other celebrity will be like, you know, I'm like Kelly. I like am really high achieving, but I'm just not happy, you know, and see Soundwaves, I guess. Or if this guy's good enough for Kelly Slater. There's so many weird, I've met multiple in my life kind of high achieving business dudes and or entertainment people who liken themselves to Kelly Slater.
Really?
Yeah, who feel like they have like a kind of tertiary understanding of surfing, and they're just like, man, I'm like, you know, I'm not to brag, but I'm like Kelly Slater. Like I'm singularly focused, you know, I do blah blah blah, and then Kelly and me, we're like the same.
Huh.
Weird.
That is such a bizarre egotistical thing to say about one's self.
I mean, it's like the places I met these people are at egotistical places, like whatever, finance retreats and things like that.
Yeah,
I don't know why I was there.
I don't even want to give examples because some of the people might be listening. But I found myself in environments occasionally. Okay, one example I could give was dated this girl who is an attorney, And it was just like in a kind of important firm, and the ego in that environment is just insane.
It's insane.
What I was going to say is there's a couple of different environments that have been tangentially related to.
That's it.
Where I go, oh my gosh, this is wild that people work in this environment. Everybody's undercutting one another. Everybody's out to stab in the back, even though they're all colleagues.
And that's the only way, though, that you, I mean, they literally have to be that way. That's the only way that they can rise up through those ranks is to be, like, at the end of the day, the biggest ego is going to win.
Totally. And I go in there and I kind of look around and I'm almost drawn to it. I almost think to myself, huh, I should do some more push-ups in the morning.
Yeah.
I should get up a little earlier.
Yeah.
I should learn a new language. I should, you know, it's kind of good for your personal growth. And then you realize how insidious it is to live in that space every day and commit your life to that and then get the big mortgage so that you're tied to that forever. Yeah. It's bad.
There's a good techno song. Did I talk about it last time on here? About the... I can't remember the
you
exact
lost
words.
Me a good techno
it's
song.
It's a good techno song. It's a great one. I listen to it. So when I'm writing, here's a little peek behind the curtain. When I'm writing, you know what? I listen to Pandora. Guess what my Pandora writing station is?
Electronica.
It's more specific. Okay. It's electronica, yes. A specific. And this has literally been now... I used to burn through a Pandora station. Like, you know, Pandora only plays kind of certain songs. Like, yeah. I mean, it's, I guess... theoretically a lot, but it's probably the same 20 songs will come up in your station. Fisher.
Oh.
DJ Paul Fisher is my...
That's why your writing is so awful.
Yeah, please. It could be. But Fisher is my station. So it's not just his music. It's his music mixed in with music like his.
That's right. Remember we did that deep dive in Florida?
Yeah, totally.
I
forced everyone to watch his video. But everybody found the charm.
Yeah, yeah. So, in the performance, it's all about performance.
Since then, though, honestly, since then, I've had Fish on constant rotate. I mean, not his again, but Fisher and music like Fisher on fairly constant creative. Yeah, it may explain a lot about my recent product.
But, yeah, I'm not sold on it.
Yeah, it's good.
But whatever works for you. So anyways, Kelly, are we done with that?
Yeah, we're done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Elo's ego.
Kelly's going to be shattered. I mean, I think real quick. I wrote a quick story about honestly losing to a cripple.
Right.
He's going to lose to a cripple.
Totally.
John Florence, crippled, will beat...
At pipe.
Do you think John's going to surf pipe? There was some rumors.
Predictions.
Mm-hmm.
I filed this under predictions, then I came up with some of my own.
Okay.
Predictions for 2019's season finale.
Okay.
It's
nice that surfing doesn't cross years. You know, like baseball and stuff, or
totally.
Basketball's the worst. Basketball and football too, where it's the 2019-2020 season.
It.
It's so easy. It's the 2019 season.
Other things that piss me off in that vein. TV shows having a season. When I was a kid... a season was a year.
Yes.
And it maybe didn't run for 12 months, but you knew there was only going to be one season of that show in 2019.
Yes.
And then the next season would be in 2020. Now they'll have like three seasons in 1 year.
It makes no sense.
No. The other thing, vehicles. You know, we're probably the Toyota's 2021 model is out right now.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
That's completely true.
And remember when we were kids, magazines would come out dated like 3 months in advance?
I was so baffled by the magazine thing. Somebody explained to me that it was the pull-by date, but it was never that. Because it felt like they just had gotten so far out ahead of themselves that they were printing magazines for like, 2030.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
So stupid.
Bizarre.
Yeah, so surfing got that right.
Yes.
Surfing... not the magazines, but the WSL. WSL, the greatest achievement you guys have done.
One season, 1 year.
Per year.
Yeah.
Makes it easy for us.
2019.
Congratulations.
Good job.
Okay. So your prediction was?
I predict that there's... so Kelly will have to get fifth in order to... this is an Olympic prediction. Kelly will have to get fifth at pipe in order to surpass John. Let's assume that John isn't surfing pipe. I'm going to say Kelly does not get fifth at pipe, full stop. Kelly has not.
Kelly loses to a cripple.
Kelly loses to a cripple.
But Kelly is a cripple.
Yeah. He'll claim that he is.
Well, he's been struggling with injuries for the last couple
of years. I mean, and I'm sure when he loses to a cripple, he'll claim some greater debilitating crippleness that he has.
I think this will be completely dependent upon how good the waves are at pipe.
Doesn't matter.
It does. If the waves are pumping,
what is it? What's
I
the
think
best?
He could easily quarterfinal.
Obviously. I mean, in the past. But what's the best result Kelly's gotten all year? I think he did. I think he did get a quarter.
I mean, I could look it up. Maybe quarters at Bali.
So, sure. Yeah. I mean, it's possible. My real hope is I'm hedging my bet with if Kelly does get fifth, then I'm taking credit for it. Also, okay. Because that I infuriated him so much by saying he's going to lose to a cripple that he gets fifth. It's my victory.
Okay, perfect.
It's because
so
of
this
me.
Is a win-win for you, no matter what.
Total, I won.
His best was a third at Bali.
Yeah.
And he's sitting in 10th right now. John's in 8th, obviously.
I just don't see it. I just don't see Kelly getting a fifth at pipe.
Yeah. Well, the problem that Kelly's going to have is that there's five guys in contention for a world title that are going to be bringing their A game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's basically more talent at the pointy end of the draw at this point than there's ever been before.
So exciting.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it makes it really exciting.
Who are you? Who's your call?
Well, I've got a number of predictions. They're not necessarily wins, but they're very specific scenarios.
Okay.
My first one is that we're going to get a new crying Jordy meme.
Ooh. What's Jordy going to cry about, though?
Losing.
There's no way that Jordy thinks he has a shot here.
You don't think so?
I think Jordy's looking up at Mount Italo and behind Mount Italo, scaling Mount Gabe, and thinking, no way, I can't do that.
Is there anything, it just hit me when you said that, is there any connection between Italo and Elo?
Ooh. What if...
Conspiracy theory time.
It'd be pretty epic if...
Italo.
Elo?
It's almost the same name.
If Elo had like a Brazilian suit that he put on and that's really how he surfed and Elo is like his Clark Kent.
Dude.
Italo's a Superman.
I feel like Italo has been transitioning into flashier clothing.
Way flashier.
I've seen him with some like bright big sneakers lately.
Platinum hair.
He's transitioning into Elo.
Yeah. I mean, but maybe it is Elo. Maybe Italo is Elo's alter ego. Superman Clark Kent.
Maybe. We're on to something.
Yeah.
Well.
So you think Jordy's going to cry. I think Jordy.
We'll get a new crying meme.
I think Jordy believes in his heart of heart that he doesn't have it. I mean, that he may have it, like, theoretically, but not when you got Italo and Gabe. Well, I'm not even throwing Pip in there. Like, I'm sure he could think, if it was him and Pip, I'm sure he could think, I got this. And then then we could have a crying Jordy. But I think he doesn't think that he can beat Gabe or Italo.
So you might be right based on what Jordy didn't do at this last event in Portugal. Jordy surfed, I don't know, conservatively
tepidly.
To a final.
Tepidly.
Very tepidly to a final. And then in the final, laid down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he got his very first wave that he got that was a full-on, had scoring potential. He did a floater, a carve, and a floater. It's like even the best floater, car floater is only going to net you a 6.5 at best, which it was like a low 6. Italo's very next wave was a 10-point ride. You're not going to beat Italo with 2.6s no matter what. So why would you even surf that way? You either go huge or you go home against Italo.
I mean, that's what I think. I think Jordy's already given up. Jordy has already tapped out. Jordy is happy.
As soon as Italo did the 10, Jordy never got another scoring ride.
Yeah. Jordy's happy with his top 5 finish for the year, right? I mean,
I'm disheartened.
Yeah, it's a bummer. But Jordy's just not... I don't think Jordy is a competitive animal. Never has been. Tried to pretend he was for a while, probably, and is just not. He's competitive enough to get in kind of the top 10 every year, or good enough, I should say. And, you know, knows he's been doing it long enough where he understands heat strategy and all that blah-de-blah. And so he can surf to a top 10 finish, and that's just what he's going
to
do.
I don't want to accept this as reality.
I mean, it's a bummer, but it's true. Have you ever seen Jordy go out and take victory by the horns? Wrench it away?
He's had moments. He's had moments where he does show that, and then he has claims that represent it.
Yeah. I think Jordy is essentially happy.
That's the problem. That is the problem.
He has a beautiful wife.
He's living the dream.
He owns clubs and restaurants in his native South Africa. He lives in San Clemente part of the year. He lives who knows where else.
Hawaii.
Yeah, he has a house in Hawaii, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Jordy.
Millions of dollars.
Jordy and doesn't care. What is a title going to do? I think Jordy thinks. See, here's the thing. What does one title get you? Like, do you think that.
A bonus.
Joel Parkinson, I mean, maybe a bonus, but outside of monetary, Do you think Joel Parkinson goes home and looks at that one cup he had for surfing over 20 years that was kind of a gift cup that he kind of didn't Joel really kind of slide through? He didn't win, right?
He won the title without winning an event.
Exactly.
He ended up winning pipe, but he clinched the title before he won the pipe event. Like, yeah. He clinched in the semis or whatever.
So great, and taking nothing away, but like kind of these, you know, the one cup that you win, I don't know.
I think it matters.
I'm sure he...
Like, if he didn't have it, he would be looking back at his career.
Do you think
with
you
desire
think, still. Do you think Taj Burrow looks back at his career with desire?
Yeah.
I think Taj and Parko look at back at their careers the exact same way.
Yeah, you could be right.
I think they both think, yeah, that was a fun run, right? And yeah. we enjoyed ourselves. Taj's story is more compelling. The bridesmaid thing is way more compelling than the kind of gifted world title.
Not it wasn't gifted, a gifted world title.
It wasn't a gifted one, but it wasn't a stomp. It wasn't
no,
Joel.
You're right.
It wasn't Joel Parkinson going out and planting his flag and saying, "I was the best surfer this year."
He still feels like a bridesmaid to Mick Fanning.
Sure, totally.
Because like you talk about them in the same conversation, and Mick is in a different echelon.
Exactly my point. They're both champions, but all champions are not created equal.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
It's true.
So Jordy.
Aki's. I'm sorry, not Aki's. Who got the full-on gifter at the end of career? Oh, never mind. I don't want to talk. Damn it. Okay.
I'll edit for you.
Okay. You don't even have to. You can just leave it there.
I'm just messing with you. I just say that. I never actually go back and edit. So Jordy. Okay. I'm disheartened to accept that this is now a truth.
Yeah.
Too much too soon. The thing that we always talk about is you need to have like a grit and a drive that's embedded in you from your childhood and your hard scrabble upbringing. And I feel like Jordy had some of that.
He had it. Jordy.
So it's weird that then at 18, you can give him a bunch of money and it dissolves all of that hard grit, hard scrabbled grit that you had when you were a youth, because we haven't seen that happen with Gabriel and people coming from Brazil, basically.
Totally. But also the Brazilian thing is newer, I think. Like, so does Italo have the drive? I will tell you, point blank, Italo has the drive.
Yes.
I've looked Italo in the eyes and seen that fire burning. Italo wants to rip people down.
I agree.
He's a nice guy, but Italo wants to win. Like the heat against Pip, when was it Philippe who got the crazy, who was it who got the crazy sick barrel at the end where it was just like, you gotta
where?
In
Portugal?
Not Portugal. It was Italo in the final, I think, or maybe in the quarters. Damn it. And it was like last second. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was, what's his name?
Adriano,
yeah.
At Chopu.
Precisely, yeah. At Chopu. So
epic heat.
Epic heat. So I talked to Italo after that heat, and I thought Italo was going, everybody likes De Souza, especially all those guys. I mean, he's the, you know, hard luck kind of guy who's won a title, you know, the first Brazilian title, doesn't have big sponsors now, is, you know, I mean, would you agree that Adriano's like universally loved, I think amongst all surfers at this point, but especially amongst Brazilians. I thought Italo was going to be like, oh man, you know, I so wanted to win, but you know, that watching Adriano pack that bomb, there's nothing I could do. It's not like he you know, Italo didn't do anything wrong tactically. Like, it was just complete.
They were trading high eights, high nines.
And it was, and just so happened that Adriano got that bomb at the end. You know, roll the dice, luck, whatever it was. Boom, done. Italo was not mad at Adriano, obviously, but so furious still. This was weeks after Chopu that he lost that heat. And I was thinking, wow, if you just surfed arguably one of the best heats in at least WSL era professional surfing, that, you know, I thought I would have just been happy to be involved. No, he was not happy to have been involved. He was furious that he didn't win that heat.
Wow.
And not furious again at the judges, not furious at anything, just
that he didn't get a deeper barrel.
That Italo wants to win.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think as you were talking about that, this is kind of tangential, but I feel like Italo actually still, like, Italo loves surfing. The act of surfing and the act of getting barreled and landing maneuvers. Gabriel, I feel like, is so robotic. Gabriel's more in love with the winning itself. And not to diminish what you were saying, I think Italo still has all the drive to win and all that sort of stuff.
Completely.
But I feel like Gabriel's in a barrel thinking about the score that he's going to get in the barrel, or if this means a world title to him or a heat win or whatever. And even in free surfing, I feel like that's where his headspace is. It's all a means to an end. And if he was as talented at soccer, he would just as well be playing soccer. Whereas I feel like Italo, just from watching him surf, like we talk about Mason Ho, clearly has the most fun surfing. I feel like Italo is cut from Mason Ho's cloth, where he's enjoying the act of surfing itself. And that translates to the judges' scoring, by the way.
The best final for Pipe would be Italo Gabe. I mean, it would be, to be quite honest, I would like to see, I wonder why they don't do that. I mean, I know Italo and Gabe don't have a rivalry yet, or a history per se, but when there's a potential rivalry developing in the World Surf League, why don't they take those guys and do some like one-off heavyweight heats, right?
That'd
like
be amazing.
Fly them somewhere and just title bout, right? Yeah. Like one-off little battle of, you know, whatever. Some wave is breaking. Give them 3 hours to surf, or however long they can surf before they get tired. How long do you think those guys can surf before they get tired?
Dude,
like at a high level?
I mean, if the waves are pumping, 6 hours, 8 hours.
You think they could give them? Yeah, I mean, how great
like
would that?
Somewhere like G-Land or
totally. Yeah. Precisely. Take them to G-Land, turn the cameras on, heavyweight bout, Italo versus Gabe. I bet that would get
last
more views.
Standing.
I mean, how epic would that be?
Epic.
It'd be a lot
Completely
of fun.
Completely epic.
Yep.
So if we get, I'll give another prediction. If we get a Gabriel Italo final.
Yes.
You know who's going to win?
The viewers.
Yes, and the guy with blonde hair.
Italo. Yeah.
But it's by virtue of his blonde hair.
Do you think the judges, their inherent bias is going to creep out and they'll just see blonde and think white
nope.
man?
Nope. I say run all of the stats throughout surfing's history. Blonde hair reigns supreme.
Blondes have more fun.
Blondes have more world titles.
That is epic to know. Yeah.
Because this, of course, Stephanie Gilmore has 7.
Yep.
Right? Is that what she has?
She does.
Kelly's
got 11, though. Is this counterbalanced?
Kelly's bald.
Yeah, but Kelly is Syrian also.
Is he?
Yeah, he's Syrian.
Since when?
Always.
I didn't know that?
Yeah, Robert Kelly Slater is half Syrian.
No,
How did you not know this? Yeah.
Why is he not serving for Syria in
the
Olympics?
Totally should be.
Did we ever discuss this? Did you write about this?
I've written about it. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't read it.
Kelly Slater is half Syrian.
Wow.
Yep. Or maybe a quarter, but like a chunk Syrian.
Okay. Well,
the bastard should talk about his home country civil war a lot more. Stop talking about greenwashing the surf ranch and start getting serious about the geopolitical fortunes of his home country.
I know. Who cares about flat earth, man?
You bastard.
Or Jeffrey Weinstein. Or Epstein.
When I used to write shit on Kelly or talk shit about Kelly, I used to get a lot of hate. People would be, Kelly's greatest ever. You shut your mouth, you nobody. I get nothing now. Are people just used to it? Or does Kelly not have the legion of fans that he once had?
Yeah, I don't think he has the legion.
I mean, Kelly fans would honestly come out of the woodwork and really stick it to me.
Yeah.
Shut your dumb mouth. You can't talk about Kelly that way.
I don't see it anymore. I don't see the legion, the fandom anymore.
Did you used to get beat up if you spoke ill?
A little
11-time
bit.
World champ?
You know who I've gotten the most vitriol about when I've spoken negatively? Ben Gravy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because Ben Gravy himself got mad at you, right?
Did he get hurt? He talked about it on his vlog or whatever when you and I you and I were kind of like, who is this guy? Like, we weren't sure who he was.
Yeah,
I still he took offense that we didn't know who he was.
To be quite honest, I still don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I vaguely know.
He's an Instagrammer.
I know that he does Instagram and rides weird waves, but is that all he does?
Yeah.
Did he ever surf the QS or anything?
No.
Is he good?
No.
I remember we had this conversation. Now it's all coming back. Yeah.
He's an intermediate surfer. Like, he does little airs and stuff, but it's just totally intermediate.
Yeah.
So we just kind of said that, and like, he got his feelings hurt and he talked about it, and like, in a selfie pose, you know, video vlog, discussed it and was like, who are these guys, sort of a thing. And so his legions of fans started direct messaging me. What was great about it is a lot of them were coming through Facebook.
Oh,
and I'm like, Who uses Facebook anymore? Who uses Facebook Messenger to communicate? Like, it really said something, you know?
Oh, it kills me. Facebook Messenger kills me. I never check it. I mean, so, and then every once in a while I'll go in and there'll be like a really important message in there that I should have responded to. I'm like, why didn't you just email me?
I know.
It's jazz@beachcrit.com. It's not that hard to remember. It's not a secret.
I know. But they were so irate and they were so clueless too. Like, they had no idea. What became evident to me is like, they don't know surfing at all. I think we were doing, you and I might've been discussing like ranking vlogs, like surf vlogs kind of came on hot for a minute there. And we're like ranking them and didn't know who Ben Gravy was. And then Ben Gravy and his response to me or direct message was like trying to verify his statistics.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, look at, like, Koa Smith is getting barreled at Pipeline. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying that your thing doesn't have value. I'm just saying in the pantheon of good surfing, like, Koa Smith is, aside from being, like, model handsome and all these other things, is getting barreled at Pipeline. That's all that we were talking about.
Are vlogs still a thing?
Barely.
I feel like
they came and went.
Yeah. I mean, I saw somebody just launched a new one, maybe Cam Richards or something.
Yeah.
But it's funny, when I saw the word vlog again via the Cam Richards one, I thought, oh man, I haven't even, did they all just, people did one season and realize nobody watches these things?
They watched them. Everybody watched them for a minute. Like, things were getting 100,000 views.
Is it just, is the what? The
I know what it is.
What is it?
The name, vlog.
It's a stupid name.
Who wants to say vlog?
It's awful. It's an awful name. Why did they ever call them vlogs? Why don't they just
vlog? Vlog?
Well, I mean, why not just say I do video content, or this is my series or something, right? I mean, it's just, it's programming like anything else. Why does it have to have a special name?
They could have easily branded it differently.
Sure.
I mean, it does need its own specific name, but vlog is the worst one.
Yeah. So accidentally let out a cool guy laugh there. Come to my
nice one, Ashton.
Yeah.
Okay, my other prediction.
So
for Pipe.
Again, that prediction was
Jordy's crying meme.
Jordy
get a new crying meme.
One that Idolo's going to win if he's in the final because of his blonde hair.
Yep.
But okay, who are the? So we have, who are the other? We have Mick. Scott three. John's got three.
John has two.
I'm sorry. John has two. John would have had three if he would have not become a cripple. Oh, we have a lot to talk about with John and the rest of the Hurley team riders. But let's finish this too.
Predictions.
Yeah.
Jadson, Andre will get injured, as he's prone to, but then he'll but before getting injured, he will
requalify.
He's already requalified, I think, via the QS, but he'll do amazing things through the Triple Crown events. Like, I see him ending up in the semifinal at Sunset, doing something at Holly Eva, but then getting injured at Pipeline. In the CT events, he only gets last place and gets injured.
If it wasn't,
but he'll be on tour next year by virtue of his qualifying through the QS.
If it wasn't for Ryan Callanan, I think Jadson Andre might be my new favorite surfer.
I love him for all of the sentimental storyline.
Pluck.
Yeah.
He's got pluck, the kid.
Yeah.
You think Beach Crit could sponsor Jadson Andre?
Yes.
For what? 3 bars of wax and 2 Crying Jordy stickers.
I think air freshener is the hot commodity right now.
Okay. Have you used your air freshener?
No, I think it's still in this bag right here.
It's a good smell.
I don't use any sort of deodorizer.
I have a question for you. Have you ever been out and realized you didn't apply deodorant or anything and rubbed car freshener in your armpits?
Nope.
Oh, I have. It stings.
You don't do it enough when you're here with me because I only smell BO.
It stings.
It stings?
Yeah, it hurts. Huh. I don't recommend it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good PSA for the listeners. So my other prediction is that Ricardo Christie will break his streak of 17ths this season with a 33rd.
Does he only have 17ths?
He had 17ths throughout the whole year, and then he got 33rd at Portugal.
Oh, that would have been an Ironman streak.
17ths? I wanted to see 17 17ths over the course of like 1.5 seasons.
That is epic.
Yeah.
Somebody should go and try to do that. I feel that's very achievable for somebody
on
the bottom end. I mean, as long as the World Surf League is going to keep trotting 485 surfers out.
Exactly.
Somebody should go for something fun like that.
Yep.
Provide a different storyline.
Yep.
Yeah, I like it. I like that one.
Like, he knows he's not going to win an event.
Of course not.
Just aim for 17.
Sure.
Why not?
And once you get 17th, that's it. You kick your board, tap out, done.
The trick is not getting 33rd.
Of course, you got to do that. I mean, that's why it's hard.
You don't want to get you don't want to have an off heat.
No. And then you just go requalify through the QS like you're already doing.
What if he was like coming up to the 17th event and he draws a surfer who, you know, doesn't make his heat
or something.
And Ricardo's going to actually win a heat and end up in 13th.
It would be crushing.
That would be hard.
All that hard work, a year.
All that hard work to then make the quarterfinals.
All that medium work and then would be a real bummer. Yeah.
Ricardo. All that soft work.
Ricardo. Poor Ricardo. Is Ricardo on tour next year?
Heck no, dude.
Good.
Remember when he crowdfunded his campaign?
That's good. It was smart.
Crowdfunded a campaign to then show up on tour and not qualify and then... Or to not re-qualify.
It is the bottom half of the draw. Every year when whoever's coming up gets announced, I feel... Maybe I'm just jaded at this point. I feel I'm less excited every year when I see... I mean, I love, again, Jet's my favorite surfer. Happy's going to be there. But when it's announced this year, who's it going to be? Who's qualified this year?
Or Matt Banning.
Yeah.
Ethan Ewing. Like,
I'm so tired of the same dudes. Just, they should make it illegal or more difficult to qualify through the QS. Like, you have to wait a year. If you drop off tour, you have to wait a year to get back on or something like that.
You know what's weird? I'm really excited at times. Like, I actually loved Ethan Ewing surfing, and I love Matt Banning surfing.
Completely, me too.
And then what's shocking to me is that Ethan Ewing doesn't re-qualify. Like, Ethan's, I don't know what the alchemy is. Still to this day, as closely as I follow surfing, the best surfers often don't win. And I then saw Ethan surfing at that Manly, the Vizsla Pro at Manly this year. In the free surfs, he's still the best guy.
Sure.
You're watching all of these QS warriors. You're seeing, you know, 100 different really, really good surfers. And he stands up on a wave and you go, oh, that one's better than the other 99 guys out there, unquestionably. Then he goes out in the heat and loses. You're like, what?
He needs Charlie
What's
Blackman.
Wrong with this?
He needs
Charlie Goldsmith.
Charlie Goldsmith.
How'd you call him?
Charlie Blackman.
And I saw it on Instagram yesterday. Inherent Bummers
Instagram. Yeah. Oh yeah, Travis Frey's new Instagram, a banger. Travis Frey's whole thing is pretty good. I like Inherent Bummer.
Yeah. He posted the clip of Noah Dean and commenting that Chloe Andino expressed lament, you know, a couple years ago that Noah Dean never tried to qualify for the tour. And then Travis's commentary was like, no, Noah's surfing would be the rough edges would be polished off if he went on tour. He'd be a different surfer on tour than he is, and we're grateful to have him for who he is. And then somebody else commented like, yeah, isn't that an indictment of the tour?
Yeah.
If one of the world's greatest surfers can only be the greatest surfer by not being on tour, that says something really significant.
I mean, Ryan Callanan told me the exact...
Yeah.
I'm really name-dropping today, all these surfers that I've talked to. Ryan Callanan told me the same exact thing, though, that he liked the way, or he misses the way he used to surf pre-tour.
Yep.
Like, there's things about competing that he loves, so it's like, but you just can't go be your best. You can't go... you know, huck huge airs time and time again, because obviously, you know, strike rate is low and you get hurt.
It's a headspace thing too. I think just...
I think it's a headspace thing with the Bantings and the Ewings. I think it's a headspace. I bet when that hooter sounds, they just choke, right?
Thanks for that hooter noise.
Yeah, you
I
like
wasn't
it?
Sure what it sounded like until you delivered it.
I think they just have no idea. I mean, I really do. It's like, you know, you can bang 20 free throws in a row, but if you're in a game and you feel that pressure, you know, can you push through and pitch free throws?
The headspace thing is even more kind of robust than that. It's not just, oh no, people are watching me. It's knowing in a free surf that there's no consequence.
Sure.
Like, I can just go on any wave I want. I can try to go as huge, and if I fall, it doesn't matter. And once you put any parameters around that, you're now hedging every bet.
Do you think sports psychology actually works? Do you think a Banting or a Ewing could go see a sports psychologist work out the mental kinks and go win, or at least win some.
Yes, I'm going to say yes.
I think so too.
I don't know what. I think with any psychologist, you need to find the right fit.
Sure.
This is a problem I have with psychology or with therapy in general. Is let's say you're going to therapy to talk about your divorce or sure. whatever it is, right? You find a therapist, you go in there, you pour your heart out, and that's all a tremendous amount of effort. There's expense involved. And then it takes time. Like, you probably need to go for 3 months until you kind of realize whether you're getting anything out of this or not. But that relationship with the therapist, not every therapist is for every client. Like, you need... Yeah. So what if it's just, this isn't a good fit? I feel like most people come out of that therapy session going, therapy's not for me. I'm not going to therapy anymore.
I'm talking about like a real professional sports psychologist, the right fit, right? Like a guy
finding the right fit sure. is also a tremendous amount of work and sure. challenge and time.
You need a psychologist to find a psychologist.
Yes.
You need a sports psychologist yes. to help guide you into for the sure. right one.
For wow. sure.
I feel there's a growth market opportunity here. Because you wouldn't even have to be a psychologist. You're just a guide. Yeah, I'm going to take you. Maybe that could be Charlie Goldsmith. He could help people figure out what sports psychologist is right for them, since he's clearly just an absolute hack.
By the way, you know what his business model is?
No.
Selling like nutritional plans and stuff.
What?
Like, well, because on his website, he was saying one of his things that he was kind of proud of is I don't charge. Like, I come and I'm a healer, but I don't charge.
Oh, sweet. Because he's selling.
But then you click another click away and it's like, oh, if you want to live my lifestyle and be as healthy and fit and actualized as me, eat these foods, get on this program, and here's the fee to do it.
Do you think he is, I love that we're back on Kelly's sound waves, but real quick, do you think Charlie Goldsmith Blackman is like real bummed on the reception that he's gotten, or is he living life behind the wall of positive noise himself where yeah. he's only heard people say, you on that thing with Kelly, so inspiring, bro.
He's not listening to the surf community at all.
When Ashton sees him, says, bro, you, that was like,
and slaps him on the back.
Yeah, slaps him
good
on the back.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
Ah, Charlie.
Yeah.
I think.
He's hyped.
I don't think Charlie's listening to the surf world at all. I think Charlie's focused on, like, you know, doing 60 minutes pieces on national television.
Okay.
And that sort of stuff. And he's using Kelly because of Kelly's celebrity,
sure.
you know, modicum of celebrity status. He's using Kelly just as a, you know, I don't know.
Sure, a stage. Yeah. I mean, Kelly's his...
To then turn to 60 Minutes and speak to those people. I don't think he cares about the surf community.
Poor guy. Well, you suck, Charlie. In case you are listening.
By the way, as they Elo creates his content, we talk in the mainstream media, they talk about underrepresentation of certain minority groups and all that sort of stuff. And then companies get fined or, you know, certainly shamed for not having a diverse board of directors or whatever. I feel underrepresented. At this point in surfing, I feel completely underrepresented.
As a white male?
As a middle-class white male from yeah. Southern California. They are not at all catering content to me.
Nope.
There's nobody that represents me.
Nope. Clohead.
I mean, you could look at... No, that's a wealthy white male.
Oh, you want a middle-class white male.
I need middle-class white male plight
that's
to be
true.
Represented.
We that's
have
true.
Lots of Brazilians.
Aggrieved.
We have lots of Brazilians. We yeah. have minority ethnic groups represented.
South Africans.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody. Where's the middle-class white male?
Yeah, it's not there.
I got nothing.
Middle-class. Does he have to be an American middle-class white male?
No.
No. Arkell. Arkell's your dude, just like he's my dude.
He is a word. I am all about Arkell.
Yeah.
I did not know it until right now.
That's what I'm telling you. I didn't know it either.
Man.
Ryan Callanan.
Shoot. What happens if he doesn't requalify?
Well, we've got to really keep our fingers crossed. I think he is. I think
should
he might
have started
be.
This movement earlier in the year.
I know.
Can
I came
be in
to
the doctrine?
I came to it late myself. Huh?
Can this be in the doctrine that
yeah.
you're going to nail to WSL?
This will be the asterisk. Ryan Callanan must requalify.
Yeah. Otherwise, we're underrepresented.
Just nobody.
Arkell. That's actually a hate crime at this point.
Arkell's the great white hope.
Yeah. Okay. I'm in.
Yep. Good.
All right. Glad. I like it.
Do you have any more predictions for Pipe?
No.
So, again, going back through them, it is that Jordy's going to cry.
We're going to get a new meme.
Going to get a new meme.
Crying Jordy.
Idolo's going to win if he's in the final.
Blonde hair is going to win.
Blondie's going to win. And what was the third one again? Ricardo, Jadson's going to get hurt.
Jadson injury is definitely going to happen.
And Ricardo is going to bust a second 33rd.
Jadson's been injured this year at the box. He's also been injured. Was it France? I think it might have been France.
Yeah, he goes.
And I'm not happy about any of this, by the way. This sounds like I'm saying it in jest. No, I love Jadson.
Completely.
It pains me.
Nobody.
Oh, Chopu, I think he got injured at too.
How the hell, Eric Logan? Because I know Eric Logan listens. Oh, did you know Eric Logan is not his real name, FYI?
Oh, my gosh.
You didn't know this?
So when you become a televangelist, yeah, you do have to change your name. That's part of this.
Eric Logan is not his real name.
Oh, my God. Well, Ela.
No. Logan is not his last name.
What is it?
I'll have to dig back through the text. I heard a rumor, and I dug around. I mean, I asked around, and it was confirmed that Logan is not... Confirmed, actually, by Eric Logan himself.
I wonder...
Is not his last name.
I wonder what the reason behind the change was. Like, I'd have to know the first name to be able to figure this out. I mean, was it just like some... what was the reason for the change?
Can we edit this?
Tell me off air.
I'll tell you off air.
Or do you want to tell me now so that I can comment on it? I can edit it.
It'll get us into trouble.
Okay, babe, don't say it.
I don't...
I'm dying to know, though. All right, well, that's it for predictions. We can move on, I suppose.
Okay, we have to move on, because speaking of also cripples, I mean, Jadson going to become a cripple. Oh, wait, I was just going to say, I had a profound thing. Stinking Elo, storyteller-in-chief, I'm so feeling so mad about this, that I can come up with this stuff day after Halloween, still boozy probably. You have the story of Rudy sitting right in your lap as Jadson Andre. How do you not remake Rudy, the Jadson Andre story, right?
Wow.
This plucky Brazilian throws himself over the falls, gets injured, the music. Not one surf fan would say boo on that.
No.
You could make it as cheesy and schlocky as you wanted to. You could literally rip off Rudy frame for frame.
Shot for shot remake
of Rudy. Mm-hmm. Just have Jadson and instead of football surfing.
Mm-hmm.
Every surf fan would cry. Tears mm-hmm. would be rolling down my cheeks.
Yeah. This is the easiest layup ever from a content creation standpoint.
It is right there. And yet the storyteller in chief is too busy doing stuff that I have no idea even what it is. That's how off my radar his... I love that I make fun of it every day. And it is so off my radar that I can't even be bothered to begin finding where it is to even start to watch it. That's how shitty it is. It should be good enough. His content should be at least good enough where I am forced to engage with it. That's how shit his content is. He doesn't even though I pound it every day. I've only seen and only because it's on his Instagram, a blurb for Transformed.
That's an indictment of your journalism.
No.
Yeah. You don't even watch the content. You just say that it's crappy without watching it.
I know that it's crappy because I'm not even remotely compelled to begin to start to find where it is. If it's that bad, if Eric's content was causing any kind of ripple, then I would seek it out and watch it. It is such a sheet of flat water. There's not one piece of movement in it. Like, honestly, no, not one person ever said, oh, you gotta watch this, bro. Or nobody, not even... Obviously, my friends probably wouldn't, but no, even enemy. So you make fun of this stuff, but this is really good. You should watch it. It stars Sean Thompson. And I only know that Sean Thompson isn't that stupid transformed because, again, it's on Elo's Insta.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but otherwise, are you compelled to even begin to sit down to even figure out where this stuff lives?
No.
Exactly. That's not an indictment on my laziness. This is an indictment solely on the product.
My favorite thing I saw on the internet this week was Pat O'Connell dressed as Elo.
It was really good. It was really good.
For Halloween.
It was really
good. Because Pat's already got the same like positive energy.
Yep. It was a dead ringer.
It was so good.
Well done, Pat.
Yeah. I love that.
You know, another show, I'm going to just lay it up from the other side. I'm going to do this is not even a left-handed layup. This is another right-handed layup.
Okay.
Survivor. Hurley edition. Which of the Hurley just got sold to a Bebe clothing, I mean to clothing holding company. Which of the vast array of stars in Hurley's fold are going to go down. And you just make a survivor show around it.
Are we talking about at the internal level or the pro surf team?
I'm going to say, okay, so who does Hurley have on the team right now? We've got John Florence. We've got Julian Wilson. We've got Philippe Toledo. We've got
Kalohandino. Carissa Lakey.
Carissa Lakey. I feel I'm missing a major guy too here.
Michel Borez.
He's not major, but let's put him in there. Okay. You basically have, we could probably get it up to easily 10, right?
Yeah.
10, Michelle, no offense, 10 mostly stars. 10 either high-level stars, mostly stars. There's absolutely no way the holding company that just purchased Hurley, which, if you don't know the news, Hurley was just sold, Nike sold Hurley to, I don't even know what the name is.
Blue something.
Bluetooth Media. Blue Stream something. All I know is that they own also Bebe Clothing. B-E-B-E, which you'll see at your mall. Your local mall. So anyway, a very hefty payroll in talent, right? Undoubtedly made perfect sense for Nike. For Nike, you know, Nike's in the kind of the business of star making, I suppose, or having the best roster, right? Like, who knows how much Nike spends on their NBA team, right? I mean, from LeBron to whatever, right? It's important for Nike as a sporting group to have the best sporting people in camp. It's not going to be important for Bebe or Blue, whatever, I don't think. And so Survivor, the Hurley edition. Stick him on an island. Last man standing. Last man not voted off, or woman, as the case may be, gets to keep their contract.
Is this a surf off or is this a fight to the death?
Nope. I think you do it just like Survivor. It's not a fight. It's like fan voted, right? Gotcha. You do episodes. The surfing is obviously part of it. But also intrigue, backstabbing, you know.
Eating disgusting things.
All of it. And it's just at the end, who is most winning, right? Who is most likable to the audience? Who does the audience want to see survive?
Okay, this is interesting. I think Michel has a very good chance.
He sure does.
Even though he doesn't have a good chance on tour to win anything.
A real dark horse shot right there.
Because
likeable.
He's very likable. He could charm the pants off of Kaloe.
But in Survivor, I haven't watched Survivor for 18 years, but if I recall,
more WSL content.
if I recall, you had to be charming, but you also had to be snaky.
And that's the thing.
And can Borez cut a man?
I think he could.
You'd have to. I mean, we'd see. See how good would this show be?
Yeah, he's stronger than anybody too.
He is. He
can. Like, that's the thing, is he's so nice that I feel like we've all got our guard down.
Sure.
Like, oh, this guy's not even a threat.
But he may be just straight up nice and go down right away.
Right.
I feel that Carissa would be right at the end. Riss, our old pal Riss.
I think Chris gets booted immediately.
You don't think? I think Riss has some flame in there. I think Riss would take a man down.
I think, first of all, Lakey would Nancy Kerrigan Carissa.
Okay.
I feel like Lakey views Carissa as a real threat.
Yep.
And
Kerrigan's
definitely does something underhanded.
Okay.
To eliminate Carissa instantly. Just get her out.
Where does our brother land?
Chloe Andina?
Yeah. Our fair brother.
I don't think he does well.
J-Dub?
J-Dub. J-Dub, I think, interesting.
This would be the most watchable show.
Yeah, I know. J-Dub could be really sneaky.
He could be sneaky.
J-Dub, but I don't handsome. See him winning either.
He's going to get that. He's going to get the still. He's going to get the female vote.
That's true.
A handsome man.
He will definitely still get the female vote.
Somehow still has his hair.
And then we also have Felipe.
Felipe. I mean, I bet at the very end, unless this survivor is held at a place with big waves.
But big, that doesn't scary factor waves into this
Yeah, they surf too.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a competition, you know, but they go out and free surf, and so we can watch them free surf, and then they come back to the campfire and eat bugs and stab each other in the back.
Right.
Best show on TV.
I've got the impression that Felipe actually shoots himself in the foot. I think Felipe, he's got a young kid at home. He's high energy. He needs a lot of stimulation. He's kind of frenetic. And I don't think that serves you well in this kind of marathon scenario of trying to survive. I think and to be honest, that could be Kaloe's downfall too, is needing some creature comforts.
Yep.
I think Kaloe needs
a shower. I think he needs fresh linen at night.
I get it. But again, remember, the stakes of this are not just you win. The stakes are you're the only one who keeps the Hurley contract. So if you lose, your creature comforts may well be at home, may well be in danger. You got no sponsor. Who's going to sponsor these guys?
I think Kaloe's mentality is, I'll go home and get another sponsor.
Yeah, exactly. Who?
I'll go home and snipe, I don't know, something from Billabong or Quicksilver. I'm a hot commodity.
Ooh, Kaloe, no offense again, but the market is not what it once was. When I think Kaloe signed a 10-year Nike deal that he's still on. So all these guys are coming to the end of their deal anyway. I think there's going to be a very rude awakening with a full-on glut. A talent glut coming onto the market and kind of not, let's just say, they're not in the prime of their youth. Kaloe's going to the Olympics, so he's got that going for him. Kaloe would be probably okay, but I bet he would not make as much money as he made under his Hurley contract.
Agreed. And but so Hurley would have to, even if he got booted off the island, they'd have to buy him out. So he's like, all right, I can live for the, I've got money for the next 2 or 3 years or whatever.
Part of the show, no buyouts.
Oh, dang.
Yep.
I still think he has a delusion that he can make the same amount of money, so he's willing to leave.
Okay, what about, do you think that J-Dub thinks he can make as much money?
No.
Yeah.
I don't.
Where is J-Dub going to go? Just think, all of these companies now, there's, you know.
J-Dub goes to do soap operas. J-Dub transitions into acting.
Taps out entirely?
I think J-Dub transitions into a movie career.
J-Dub could go back to Quickie. Theoretically. Remember those Young Gun days?
Do they want him?
No, I don't know. I mean, like board riders now, I can't imagine there's a lot of money to spend on talent there, right?
To be perfectly honest, I think that they've recognized it's not an equitable exchange.
Yeah.
Like at the very top end, it might be. For Gabriel Medina, for Jonathan Florence, even though those are multi-million dollar contracts, that's what. Get one marquee person.
You're moving.
You could put on a bunch of different moving posters.
Yep.
And even, honestly, develop a line of clothing around them, which I'm surprised they haven't. Nobody has. But they could have a John line of Hurley.
It must not work, because I think they would have if it worked. I think people who buy surf clothes don't buy based on... I mean, they may buy a pair of Phantoms because they see John rocking them, but they will not buy a pair of John Phantoms over another pair of Phantoms.
Okay.
I think in snowboarding, I think the person really drives that. Like, people want to have the Travis Rice boot and all that. Where surfing, I don't think it's the same. Could be wrong. But they would have them. They would have signature trunks.
Well, so I think at that top level, like, we need one or two marquee athletes. And then forget about the mid-tier guys that you pay $100,000 or $200,000 to.
Gone.
I don't think it makes sense on paper anymore.
You know who has, even with Hurley's team intact, which won't be intact much longer, who has by far the best team, by far and away the best team these days is Billabong. Absolutely crushing with their team.
Who do you got?
My favorite surfer, Arcal.
Seth Moniz.
Seth Moniz, favorite surfer, Arcal.
Griffin.
Colapinto, Idolo. And,
Idolo.
You're
right.
It's by far
on the women's side. They don't have anybody.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Or
Macy Callahan.
Yeah,
Callahan.
I don't know who they have. They need to beef up. But on their men's side, their men's draw, they have something for everyone. Seth Moniz, Hawaiian Charger. They got Arcal, best surfer in the world. They got Idolo, most exciting surfer in the world. They have they even have Freestone, the handsome guy. Like
forgot
they
about Freestone.
Yeah, they have like the full team that. Ticks every handsome guy Freestone, winner in Idolo, exciting surfer Callanan, Hawaiian Charger Moniz, and
American.
Do they not have an American? Griff. Oh, an American Griff. Exactly. Yeah. Everyone. They tick every box.
America's next great hope, by the way.
Griffin Colapinto.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting. Yeah, they really come from behind.
The perfect team. The perfect team while everybody was looking at the bloated. It's like Hurley was like the Yankees went and signed a bunch of top tier, well-known talent. Billabong went and did the Houston Astros route, even though the Astros just lost in the series, but developed from the farm system the best team on the planet.
Yeah. Well done.
Props to Billabong.
And one of them might win a world title this year.
If he keeps his hair blonde.
Yeah,
it's almost guaranteed.
What do we got? Are we doing a Manscaped segment?
We are.
This episode?
I have them.
I'll tell you what. Before we do that, let's go to commercial.
I'm so excited to hear what these are.
All right, and we'll be back with not only Love Hurts, but also Barrel or Not to close out the show.
When you're hiring for a small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role, and there's no faster or effective way than through LinkedIn Jobs. Your time and capital are precious, and there is a powerful resource that can help you focus on what you're good at and integrate people into your team seamlessly to help grow your business. LinkedIn Jobs has created the tools to find the right professionals for your team efficiently and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. Everyone is already on LinkedIn with their resumes and references, and now LinkedIn has designed a hiring platform to connect you with candidates specifically qualified for the job that you post about. More than a billion professionals meticulously organized to connect people by skill set to help us all advance our position. 2.5 million businesses already use LinkedIn for hiring, and 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. It's that fast, easy to use, and effective. LinkedIn Jobs can help you write job descriptions, filter the right person to you, and give you the tools to help you interview them like a pro. LinkedInJobs.com/surf is where you go to post your job for free. Yes, totally free. That's linkedinjobs.com/surf to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
And we're back, Chaz.
That sure made me hungry. I don't know about you.
I feel inspired to get a meal kit.
I am so
delivered
hungry.
To my door.
I'm so excited because if there's one thing that I want to do more is cook. Like, but I also... I want like all the time of cooking, but none of the deliciousness of going out.
Right.
And I feel that I have both those things with Blue Box.
I want to do hard labor in the kitchen.
For something that doesn't taste as good as a restaurant and costs somewhere.
The same amount.
It's perfect. It's a perfect combination. Thanks, Blue Box.
The convenience and tons of packaging that goes into a dumpster.
Oh man, is it just me or is this show really funny today?
It might be the alcohol from last night that hasn't worn off yet. Well, we do have manscaped.com promo code surfing to save 20% on all of your purchases. They make precision engineered tools for your family jewels, and you get free shipping with that promo code as well. Surfing.
The ladies apparently like
Manscaped.
I mean, do they?
Not only do they, everything feels better as well.
Okay.
For the user of the Manscaped products.
So we're going to go some love advice from David Lee Scales back to you in this segment called Love Hurts, where David Lee is going to plow left or plow right on an idea. Plowing right means it's good, right?
Yep.
Okay, and plowing left means you're not into it.
Nope.
Okay, David Lee, you're out on a date. Okay. Let's say it's a Tinder date. Or, I'm sorry, which one do you use now?
Hinge.
You're out on a Hinge date. She is beautiful. Everything, like, you can't imagine it going any better, right? She's funny, she's witty, she's smart, she's successful, well-educated, just having a smash-up time. Great time. Get to her doorstep at the end of the evening.
Okay.
She invites you in.
Oh, wow.
She says, let's do this. However, people say let's do this today. But can my girlfriend watch?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Does she like her roommate, her girlfriend roommate?
Okay.
Are you plowing right or plowing left?
Plow right.
So you'd say okay.
I plow right on this.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
She can watch.
For the intrigue alone.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to ask any questions.
Yeah.
My first instinct was to really figure out, who's your roommate? Is there, like, are you video? Like, is she just a voyeur? Are you the exhibitionist? Like, what is going on here? But in reality, plow right hard, ask questions later, seek the adventure.
Okay, seek the adventure.
Yep.
Fantastic. Okay. Scenario number two.
Okay.
Same exact whole setup.
Okay.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
And then can my best friend watch? Her best friend happens to be a boy, a male.
Dang, that really does change the scenario.
Sure does.
I now feel threatened. I'm going plow left. That was weird how the sex of the purse of the voyeur.
Strange.
Really made me feel differently about that. I'm going plow left hard on that.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So what do you do? I mean, do you just say, oh, you know, that doesn't make me... Would you still try to play through, or no. Would you just leave?
So, in scenario two, plow left, never talk to her again.
Okay, done.
Done.
She's a weirdo.
Moving on.
Okay.
Yeah, what? Yep. Done. Out.
Number three.
Really?
This is the last one.
Okay.
Number three. You go out on a Hinge date, fabulous again, everything's wonderful.
Yeah.
Best girl in the world, bloody, like, you know, you're just like over the moon. You go in for a kiss at the end, and she says, no, don't kiss on the first date. Okay, cool. 20 dates down the line, still perfect. Funny, awesome, amazing. And she's like, nope, marriage. Marriage only. I will not kiss you until you marry me. But she's like, epic.
Dude, plow left hard. It wouldn't have made date two or three.
Really?
Yes.
Date two or three.
No kissing?
She's perfect.
Dude, why she's just, obviously not perfect if she has intimacy issues.
Why wouldn't you just marry her? Find out.
So this goes to a much deeper theme that you've been pushing on me for the last 2 years, which I still don't buy into. No. Look, dude, if you can't kiss another person, you're either hiding something or you have significant intimacy issues, both of which plow left.
Isn't it worth an easy divorce to find out?
No. There's no such thing as an easy divorce.
Sure. Goes. Yeah. Divorce can be easy.
No, it can't.
Oh, yeah.
And secondly... Marriage is overrated. Like, what is the need to put it on paper and to make it legal anyways?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So if it doesn't matter, why don't you just do it?
No, there's only downside. It does matter, and it's only downside.
What if she is the best woman on earth? And you just pissed it away.
The best woman on earth that you can never kiss?
All you can do is marry her.
Dude, this is way too much. She's playing some weird game.
Exactly.
This is a power play,
I'm not in. It's not worth the cost of a divorce. The ticket of like that's the price to take the ride is just a divorce. As worst case scenario, a divorce. You're already divorced,
dude.
You're twice divorced now, and you got a story.
You're hinging the prize on a kiss.
No. I mean of the whole package.
I'm just saying she played her cards wrong. The kiss isn't worth it.
You wouldn't be haunted by that the rest of your life, thinking, I could have just gotten another. I'm already divorced. I could have just gotten my second divorce.
No, I'm not haunted because there's another girl around the corner who could be equally amazing.
You never know.
Doesn't have weird intimacy issues.
You never know.
Here's the other thing. What if the chemistry is horrible? What if the sexual chemistry is horrible?
Again, easy divorce.
I disagree with that. There's no such thing.
Okay.
There's no such thing as an easy divorce.
So we got
plow
one
left.
We got a plow right. We got a plow right on having a female friend voyeur.
Yeah.
We got a plow right on having a male friend lawyer, and we have a plow right on a woman dangling marriage in order to.
No, that's a plow left.
Go. Yeah, I'm sorry. Plow left.
Yeah.
In order to advance the relationship.
Yeah, that's. I'm not in at all. So in the first plow right scenario, by the way, I'm very intrigued by it. I don't have that fetish for voyeurism or for exhibitionism, but I'm fully open to the idea that I am young and naive and that my sexual interests will change and evolve over time.
You think that could become a...
I think it could be.
A component.
You know?
Sure.
I feel like don't say no to anything. Like don't...
Except say no to a man, voyeur, apparently.
Well, what I mean is don't judge anything. I could say no to it, yes. But don't judge it and say that you won't want it in the future. I know what I'm going to be into in 20 years.
Sure.
If you're in let's say you're in a 20-year marriage.
Yeah.
They must get boring. The standard practices must get boring. So you're going to have to up the ante, which is understand. Like, so whatever I'm not into now, I'm just saying, let's put a pin in that.
Okay.
Not into it right now, but the male voyeur down the road, maybe I'm into it.
Cool.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know what future David wants.
You're an evolved being.
I've evolved since, you know, in the last years or 5 or 10 years, like everything's changed. So yes, by theory, you will continue to evolve.
There you go.
Yeah.
Great segment. I feel.
Bring your female friend.
I feel. I feel the viewers got something out of that.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, what they should get out of it is the plow 2.0.
Yeah. Great.
I mean, realistically.
If you're going to get anything,
whether you're plowing left or plowing right, the plow is the tool for the job.
Get plowed.
Get plowed. Manscaped.com, promo code surfing, 20% off the plow 2.0.
Sweet. It's a good deal.
And free shipping. And everybody that's used that stuff has given rave reviews. And then, so barrel or nah? Should we close out with barrel or nah?
Let's do a quick barrel or nah.
Okay. Posting shark stories for clicks.
The biggest barrel ever. But it's not it's not just for clicks. You want to know what this is? You want to know that? You want to know the madness behind this? Because of, you know, those aren't, some of them do well, some don't. I've now have a fetish for writing shark stories, but here's the reasoning. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
So Beach Grit, if you don't know, for those who don't know,
is a
website that has a lot of shark stories these days. So I've got, as a revolutionary, as a baggy your pant, unshorn, sunglass indoors wearing revolutionary, I've got a couple insurgencies happening at the moment. We got the frontline one.
I would expect there to be.
Of course. Sure. We got the frontline main one, like the main direct attack on the World Surf League and its wall of positive noise. This one is more subtle. For every person, for every Val, I shouldn't say person, for every Val, Elo, Oklahoma Elo and his Val ways brings into surfing, I am going to scare a Val away by a shark story.
This is genius.
I told you.
Okay.
I told you. So I am basically culling the Val herd. I am Elo and the World Surf League, their whole entire mission is to bring this vulnerable adult learner in. I am going to scare some of them away.
I have a second or tertiary insurgency happening through my own platforms, and that is getting people to retire from surfing.
Precisely. I love it.
Dove deep with Drew Campion. I dove deep with Matt Warshaw and really talked about the benefits of quitting surfing.
It's just the hardship. It's
you dispatch them on the front end. I'll be dispatching them on the back end.
It's beautiful because somebody's got to do this work. Again, with the World Surf League on full Val tilt.
Yeah.
We can't let this happen. I don't want, if the World Surf League was trying to bring in kids to surf, then I'd be cool. All they're trying to recruit is other Oklahomans like Elo himself. I don't want Elo supping in the water.
Nope.
So you're going to get probably eaten by a great white shark. Just putting it out there. Watch out.
Yeah.
So hard barrel, big barrel.
Yep.
Stand roof dragon barrel.
Okay. All right. Posting shark stories for clicks.
And also the big barrel. The best other thing too is the people who come into those, like the environmentally, like that's so funny. I mean, I have the biggest laughs of my day reading the Beach Crit shark story comments, because the people who come in defending sharks and then the Beach Crit people. Oh, really? Yes. Have you gone into the comments?
I don't even click on the shark stories.
Oh, you're missing out. They have a whole, their own whole narrative. It's like its own genre now of literature. Yeah. They're the thing I'm most proud of on Beach Crit right now.
All
right. It's not only are the stories good, the comments are all time.
Gotcha.
Yep.
All right. Barrel or nah? Surfing dogs.
So nah. Yeah. And not because dogs get hurt or because I care about any of it. It's just I'm bored of looking at it. Somehow it got more traction this year, I feel, maybe just because of Instagram, than I've ever seen before. And I'm just tired of seeing surfing dogs.
Yeah.
Tired of it.
Yeah.
Like the therapy dogs that surf with you know, paraplegics and stuff, that's cool, like who balance the board for them.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, there's like dogs that actually provide counterbalance for the board so that a person, you know, in a wheelchair or whatever can go surfing, and that's totally barrel. But surfing dogs for entertainment, to watch the dog surf, no.
Yeah, it's not entertaining to watch at all.
No.
But is the dog having fun?
I think the dog is having as much fun as the dog has doing anything, right? I mean, I'm sure the dog is like, I'm sure sometimes the dog is terrified and other, yeah, no, the dog's probably 9 times out of 10 terrified.
I think they're absolutely terrified. Yeah. I think, yeah, there are the rare occasion where like the owner really knows their dog, yeah, and like the dog is athletic and he wants to do that thing.
Yeah.
You've seen skateboarding dogs.
Sure.
The incidence of dogs that are good at skateboarding is the exact same as the ones that are actually enjoying surfing.
Did you see the dog that get... I think it was, yes, last week, got pounded in the shorey.
And then the woman photographer gets knocked over by the board.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I mean, the dog gets
smashed.
The dog gets pounded, like big time pounded.
And he got forced into that.
Like, yeah. He didn't opt in.
No. Yeah. He got pushed into that wave.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, they should teach dogs to paddle if they're going to surf, to be honest. Dogs should paddle themselves into waves, because then they would have the desire behind it, too.
Just like the bulldogs that skateboard.
Precisely.
They jump on the skateboard and they go for it.
Yeah, nobody pushes them.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
So we're going gnaw on that. By the way, if the dog is not... if we created a spectrum of things that are fun for dogs, surfing is on the side of the spectrum that is a no, not fun. I would argue at the opposite end of that spectrum is sticking their head out car windows.
Exactly.
That is the happiest dog I've ever seen in my life. The
number one.
Out the window.
Number one dog fun.
Yeah. And sometimes trying to bite the wind.
Yep.
Bite the rain, bite the snow, whatever it is. Like, that is...
a good time for dogs.
That is their best life.
Those days. They're
sitting on a heated leather seat.
Those surfing dog owners should just take them, drive them around with their heads out the windows for a bit.
Totally.
That's love all your dog. They want. Love your dog, right.
Wind whipping in their face.
Don't want barrels.
All right, so we're going non-dog surfing. Barrel or nah, number three, Halloween costumes while surfing.
I'm going to go nah.
Really?
I've never seen one that I was like, I can't recall seeing one that made me stop and chuckle to the point of it being worth the effort of that person doing it. Like, it's always soggy, falling apart, whatever, you know, like, it's not like, doesn't infuriate me, but I just don't find it as visually enjoyable as probably the people hope. Like, what they hope they're achieving by putting on that costume and surfing is like a real, either the, look at how clever this thing is or whatever, right? I never feel it reaches their effort in, and what they hope to achieve never reaches what they were hoping to reach.
It doesn't go viral for them.
No, and it's like, when I see it, I'm like, huh, that's what I, when I see, I'm flicking through Instagram, see somebody surfing in a costume, my only reaction is, huh, while I'm moving
past it. It's a good point. Yeah. It's true. I was on the fence when I even wrote the question. I was on the fence about my own thoughts, but you nailed it. My thoughts are still on the fence.
Yeah.
It's still just, nothing. Huh. It's neither here nor there.
No.
So Patrick Godowski has posted a clip surfing in a skeleton outfit. With eye holes cut out, so like the face mask as well. One of my favorites, though, there's Jonesy is the guy's Instagram, but Jonesy, it's S-E-A at the end, and he makes wetsuits. He makes custom wetsuits, and so every year he'll do something, and one of them last year, I think, was Elf during Christmas time.
That's funny. They're
unbelievably well-tailored wetsuits, and so the one he posted yesterday was the Joker outfit. And he wore a wig and had the face makeup, and he even had shoes. They might have been booties, but they look like the Joker's loafers.
Like, was it classic Joker or modern new Joaquin Phoenix Joker?
It's the new Joaquin Phoenix. It's like a time relevant,
okay,
you know, relevant to the news cycle. And the costumes are really, really good. But I kind of felt the same way as you, where I watched the clip and I go, oh, this clip doesn't quite. Here's.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. So the wetsuit's amazing.
I mean, so
look at this. He's a good surfer too.
I am a full on full barrel of nifty wetsuits. And not by nifty, I don't mean beaver tails. I mean like when Rip Curl did that thing with Wilco. I still love those.
It was so funny.
I don't know why more people or more companies. Obviously, they must not sell. But to me, the wetsuit is. So, for example, Billabong has a thing where you can design your own wetsuit, right? From, like, you pick whatever colorways and whatever you want. I designed one. I'll have to bring it in. I think it's totally epic. It's the most... I designed, honestly, the most garish wetsuit I could. So, it's olive green body. One arm is fluorescent orange that goes down the side. The other arm is fluorescent green that goes down this side. And then there's like, somehow it crosses over in the back. It's really, really garish. But I designed it and I thought, I'm just like, want to do something dumb. I love the way it looks.
Really?
I may look totally idiotic surfing.
Yeah.
But it just made me think, I'm personally getting to the point. And I'm not talking about, you talked about last show about disliking Elo's bright wetsuits. I don't like Elo's bright wetsuits because I don't like Elo. But I think for the average person, I would like to see a comeback of more interesting wetsuits. They don't have to be bright and garish, but something like that Joker wetsuit, that is an awesome looking wetsuit.
And the jacket, it's like a jacket, an actual, that doesn't zip in the front. It's like a blazer basically. Sure. And it flaps in the back.
Epic.
Yeah.
I would like to see more of that in the water. Not, and again,
personal expression
on the wetsuit. I'm tired of black. I'm just going to say it. go out and say, pat it.
So I kind of agree with you in theory, but for me personally, I'm still wearing black.
Sure.
But I just don't feel like I'm a talented enough surfer.
I'm not at all.
To pull it off.
I am not at all. But I think if everyone starts, if there's just more color in the water.
Yeah.
Then you're a guy wearing a colorful wetsuit like everybody else.
So no on Halloween costumes while surfing.
Yes
on expressive wetsuits.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay. By the way, we never even talked about Once Upon a Time in New Zealand.
Ooh.
Nice job with that.
It's funny, huh?
It's very funny. I mean, Luke Cederman's so good.
He crushes.
I would prefer Luke Cederman on tour. If we're going to have one New Zealander on tour, I'd prefer Luke Cederman to Ricardo Christie, because at least we'd get post-heat interviews that are amazing.
One of my theses, I'm going to sneak one out, is that Luke Cederman gets a contract, like a roving beach reporter, a camera, and zero edits. Like he gets to roam around all the WSL events and do exactly what he wants. He can talk to surfers if he wants. He can just do side stuff, whatever he wants to do.
I like it.
That's one of the theses.
Zero edits and zero direction.
Zero direction, nothing. They just give him a camera and a cameraman who follows him.
Yep.
He and a microphone. He gets to do whatever he wants. And there's just every day there's a 5 to 10 minute Luke Cederman show.
I love it.
It's a great idea. Luke, great thesis.
For anybody who wants to follow Luke Cederman, Raglan Surf Report.
Very, very funny.
I also got a text right when I was, before we started this show, from our buddy Sid Abruzzi.
I love Sid Abruzzi.
Sid Abruzzi.
Water boys.
Moved into their old shop, which is huge. You know, I sent you videos.
You did. Of Sid in...
his shop in Newport,
yep.
Rhode Island, got flooded. The Water Brothers shop in Newport, Rhode Island that they were in recently got fully flooded due to the landlord. Like, it wasn't Sid's fault or wasn't the rain. So they've been out of a shop for a while now, but apparently they just moved into
Congratulations to Sid
their
Rizzi.
Old shop. So Water Brothers, shout out.
Rhode Go Island. Visit. I was wearing my Water Brothers zip-up sweater or sweatshirt just this morning.
Perfect.
Chilly, brisk morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not a paid advertisement.
Water Brothers is epic. Sid Abruzzi is a legend.
And beachgrid.com is where you can find all of Chaz's work. There's lots of good work on there recently. Lots of diversity with writers.
How good is Surf Ads? Surf Ads has been, I mean, JP Curry has been crushing it. Surf Ads has been absolutely hitting it out of the park. Gen C's slap on Stab was the great, we didn't even get to that.
We didn't even get to, yeah.
Gen Z slapped Stab so badly. She literally slapped them back into like 1800s.
So are you going to be in Florida next week?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So we're all going to be in Florida next week. Ashton will be in Florida next week. Matt Warshaw is joining us. This is the Florida Surf Film Festival in New Smyrna Beach. I don't even know if there's tickets still available. Try to get tickets if you're in that area and you want to come, because it's an amazing couple of nights.
It's going to be a really cool time. So we went to the Florida Surf Film Festival and talked with our bros.
Chaz is going to try hard to avoid an altercation with Ashton.
I'm going
to
try not that hard, though.
But I feel like Kevin and John at the Florida Surf Film Festival are hoping for an altercation.
Okay. I'll bring my A game.
Try not. I'd say let's not. I think, again, it's just run its course.
It's been done.
Yeah.
And Ashton, to me, at this point, too, Ashton is such a caricature of himself. Like, if people are into that, more power to them. But he is a goofy motherfucker.
Yeah. That definitely show up to that. We will broadcast from there next week as well. We'll broadcast the grit from Florida. Try to get Warshaw on the mics.
Fantastic.
We'll get as many people as we can.
Get him as Ativan.
Yeah, exactly. And, manscaped.com. Thanks to them. And thanks to Alba for hosting us.
Best surf shop in the world.
Let's play out some jazzy taxi theme song.
Can't wait to hear.
And until next time, Chaz.
Get barreled.